Welcome to Modern Ancestral Mamas, a podcast for mamas created by mamas. We discuss ancestral food, cooking, feeding our families, and holistic living with the everyday modern mom.
We are Corey and Christine, two mamas on a mission to nourish our families holistically while keeping it real in today's crazy world. Follow us on this adventure and enjoy the stories and information we share.
Welcome back to Modern Ancestral Mamas. This is Christine from Nourish the Littles, and I am with Corey from For Nutrients Sake. And today we're doing another Behind the Mic episode. We did another one. It was episode 47, and it was Corey and Christine's origin stories. So if you're curious about that, go back and listen. But this is a part two of the Behind the Mic series where we just get a little bit personal and a little bit deeper. And for today, we had three really good episodes come out with absolutely incredible women. And we wanted to talk about our thoughts on those three episodes. So that's what we're here for today. Right, Corey?
Yes, right. Okay, so those episodes were... The numbers were 48, 49, and 50, right? And they were with Mary Ruddock, Deborah McNamara, and Sally Fallon Morrell. So if you haven't listened to those, we suggest you go back and listen to them. You can probably listen to this episode without listening to them, but this episode would probably be more interesting, maybe. More understandable, perhaps, if you have listened to those first.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are, by the way, we need some little celebratory background noise since we did hit our 50th episode and it feels so appropriate that it was with Sally Fallon Morrell.
Right. We didn't even plan that really.
No, no. I mean, we could have had a few others go out before, but then that one, I think it fell in line perfectly with the other two women that we had interviewed previously. So
yeah, it's kind of amazing how these three episodes, we recorded them and each one that we, you know, recorded in sequence, we just kind of went, oh my gosh. And this is so much, you know, has so much to do with what that other person said. And so,
yeah,
that's one of the things I think we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah. So no questions tonight. We're just going to jump right in. And I think we'll probably start with Corey out of curiosity, or if you want, I can go first, but what between Mary Ruddock and Sally Fallon and Deborah McNamara, which one was your favorite episode of those three?
Favorite. Okay. There's so much that I appreciated so much of what each of them had to say for different reasons. I think I said to you at one point that the Mary Ruddock episode is kind of like the Roman Empire. You guys know that? That like, you know how there's this idea that men are always thinking about the Roman Empire, which I have not actually asked my husband. Have you ever asked your husband?
Yes, I asked him that and he laughed at me and he said, yes, of course, on a daily basis. And stop. I was just like, okay, you're making this up. There's no way that you think about the Roman Empire on a daily basis. I don't remember when was the last time I thought of the Roman Empire.
But then
you made that analogy and I thought the Mary Ruddock episode is my Roman Empire. Corey, that episode came out on February 28th or something like that. And we obviously recorded it before then. Since the moment we recorded it until this day, I think about it every day. I'm not even exaggerating.
Yeah. No, I think about it every day. I thought about it on the drive home today and I cannot remember why. On the drive home from our co-op and all of our errand runnings, and I was like, I don't remember what triggered it, but I was, it came to mind again. Okay, so your turn. You get to answer that question.
Well, I feel like it's kind of obvious, but for me, it was the Mary Ruddock episode. But I definitely agree with you that the combination of all three together had incredible amounts of valuable information, and I was able to sort of extract pieces from each and apply it on a regular like on a daily basis in my life. They were, yeah, I want to say the combination of the three together have been, they have altered the way I see a lot of things.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about that.
I know, right? Oh man, where do I want to start? Well, I think with Mary's episode, I was incredibly fascinated with the hormonal discussion that she brought up about how we balance our hormones, males and females, how living in these tribes with the different roles, how that applies towards our biological stability of, you know, how we live. And so now I make an effort to do little things throughout the day that will hopefully help balance our hormones. So for example, today, actually, I had gone to the nursery to buy more dirt for my flower beds. And I had these big 25-pound bags, and we got home. And actually, I said, it was just me and the kids. And I said to them, I need a big, strapping, young, strong man to help me with these bags of dirt, please. And my 3-year-old immediately raised his hand and goes, me.
Oh, that's so cute. How did that turn out, though?
I know, my heart melted. I was like, oh, thank you, sweetie. But actually, I want your brother.
You're not quite big and strapping enough.
I know. It was so hilarious. Aww. Yeah. So then he, you know, he grabbed, initially we carried it together, and then he tells me, Mom, I can do this by myself. I've done this by myself. And so I let go and I was like, okay, you do it by yourself. And he unloaded the 25-pound bags of dirt for me and, you know, put them where I wanted them. So little things like that where I'm trying to think, okay, how can I bring more, I don't want to say, how can I emphasize the manliness of my boys on a daily basis? And my daughter is already so feminine and a huge help in the kitchen, let's be honest.
Okay, so that part, I think we should say this, like we did not plan any of that discussion. We had an entirely different outline ready for this conversation with Mary Ruddick, and she jumps on. I think I was having computer problems, so we were chatting beforehand, and it ended up being a lot longer chatting session than normal. And somehow we got to hormones, and then the entire episode just totally changed directions.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by what she had to say. I talked to my husband about it multiple times. We've talked about it at this point. It was mind-blowing in that regard. And then there were some things where I kind of struggled with what she was saying because I am...
Just say it, Corey. I want you to share it because I think it's important.
Well, okay, so I am very decidedly egalitarian, and what some people would call a Jesus feminist, meaning like I believe in the equality of the sexes, and I believe that men and women should do jobs either in the home or outside of the home according to their gifts and their talents and their callings rather than their gender. So part of me was like, okay, this is a little bit challenging that, you know, what Mary was saying seemed to be challenging it. I'm not sure that it really is. Like, I think maybe if I were to talk to her about it, this again, that she might be more on, I don't know. I am curious what she would say though, if I brought up that sort of thing.
Yeah, because I do remember her mentioning it oh, I don't know, did she say it once, maybe twice on the episode, that it would be so incredibly difficult for us to comprehend how these tribes structure their societies.
But there are like historical instances of more egalitarian groups of people, or even more. Okay, so this is my problem, right? Like, I don't want to claim that a matriarchal society is better than a patriarchal society, because I don't believe that. What I believe is that an egalitarian society is the best option that we have, where, like I said, everybody is doing what they feel called to do, what they feel led to do, what they feel matches their talents and their interests and whatever. But even in history, there were rarely, but there are instances of tribal communities that were led by women. So I'm just interested, you know, I'd be interested to have that conversation with her to find out what she thinks along those lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. That would be cool to go back and have another chance to ask, have you ever seen tribes where the women are the leaders?
Mm-hmm. But again, and, like, I don't think that that's the standard. Like, that's not the gold standard in my...
No, totally. Totally. And see, the funny thing is, which is why I love having a co-host and a partner to do these sorts of things with, when she talked about the male and female roles within these communities, I interpreted it as that they were equal. So that the men, their role was, you know, to hunt and to protect and to build the house, and the women's role was to nurture and to raise the kids and that kind of thing. But that it wasn't that the women were less than the men at all. But I think now what you're saying is, if a woman felt called to go hunting,
would she be allowed to? But also beyond that is the role of leadership, right? And I know that I have a lot of people in my Instagram community, or even my personal, you know, real life community, that disagree with me on this, that men should be the leaders, that biblically men are called to be the leaders, all these things. I know that I'm in the minority on this, but I think, oh boy, I'm not sure how to say this. When it comes to leadership, if there is not co-leadership among the sexes, then there is not equal representation, and therefore there is a imbalance of power. And when there is an imbalance of power, there is potential for abuse is strong, but I can't think of a calmer word to use other than abuse.
I see where you're taking this. That's interesting. And it makes, you know, it makes me go back to Mary's episode again to think. So she was talking about how, and I questioned her on this. I remember I asked her about this because I was doubtful. Did domestic violence and did abuse occur in these communities? And she said that it absolutely did not. And so is that because the roles are very clear and set? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Is it because women are not allowed to push back?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't ask her that.
Oh man, I wish I had a pen with
part me. Part of it is because we didn't know that the episode was going in this direction, you know? So we weren't really prepared to ask these questions. We hadn't thought about any of it beforehand. It was just kind of like an off the cuff episode. And yeah, these are things that I've been thinking about since we recorded it. We probably recorded this episode like 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, in January. I think it was at the end of January or early February, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've been thinking about it since we recorded it. And those are some questions. I think some of the things that she said make a ton of sense to me. And like the allow your, you know, allow men to open the door for you and allow them to, you know, whatever. And
what about her comment on society? How society, today's modern society, has been built around men, essentially, and to the detriment of women.
Well, I think that there's been, I mean, there's been studies on that, you know, in a lot of, for a lot of different things. I mean, even just down to the fact that that exercise science and dieting has never been tested on women. It's only ever tested on men.
Right.
Like that, that is a red flag.
Yeah.
And I think she's right. We live in a patriarchal society and we don't live in one. We're still, I mean, we're not very far from the, women's liberation movement. I mean, we've only had the right to vote for 100 years in this country. So, and even beyond that, like up until, you know, past my grandparents, maybe my grandparents' generation, our grandparents' generation, women couldn't get a bank account by themselves. Like that's, see, people, I'm gonna go off on a tangent, but people get like all up in arms about how feminism was terrible, but we're forgetting that like you couldn't get a credit card, you couldn't buy a house, you couldn't buy a car, you couldn't have a job. Once you were married, pre-feminism, like I, for one, am not willing to go back to that. Mm. So I have always, did you ever see the movie, Mona Lisa Smiles?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
It's a wonderful movie and it's in the 50s. It's set in the 50s and it follows these girls who are in like a women's college and they're all pursuing marriage basically, because that's what women did at the time. Right. And one of them gets married to this absolute schmuck of a man who looks really great on paper, but ends up being terrible. And she's really high society. And her mother just tells her, suck it up. That's what we do. You know, go home, make dinner for your husband, put on a pretty dress, and this is your life now. And she ends up leaving him. And, but then her friend, who was like, I don't think I'm ever going to get married, I like the artist life, ends up getting married to this really great guy and deciding she wants to stay home and have babies. That is how it should be. Like, we should be able to say, A, we should, you know, women should be able to divorce crappy husbands. Men should be able to divorce crappy wives. I'm like, I'm all egalitarian here, but it should never be to the point, you know, we should never have a power imbalance to the point where women have to stay home and be quiet if they're married to a crappy person.
Yeah. I think in today's modern society, we're definitely past all of that for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
But beyond that, I do think, I mean, obviously I stay home, you know, with my kids. I don't have an income, my own income. My husband and I share the income he makes. And we make decisions together. And, you know, like, I think that for the most part, Mary is probably right about, you know, the American society is not set up for women. But I also think that you can choose to thrive in this society as a woman. And, you know, doing all of this, if you want to do all the stay-at-home things, or if you, I think we can choose to thrive in the society regardless.
Yeah, actually, when you were just saying that, it made me think a little bit about, she did briefly mention female CEOs.
Yeah.
And
like high-powered lawyers and stuff.
Exactly. And talked about how they would need to balance that out with their more nurturing side. And one of the things that I thought about immediately after that episode was the opposite, which was the men in nurturing roles. So for me personally, I know two men that are therapists, that are psychologists, and I sort of reflected on what I knew about them and their, I guess, life outside of therapy. And they're both, one is a triathlete and the other does jujitsu competitively. And it made me think, I wonder if that's something that these men subconsciously, like, did they know that being in this nurturing role as therapists, that they were going to need, and they just must knew, like they must have known that they needed an outlet, and they were drawn to these like very physical,
almost aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Almost aggressive sports, which I find fascinating.
Yeah. You know, my husband does jujitsu and loves it. Yeah. That's interesting. Although he's now gotten two of my daughters to do jujitsu with him. So I don't know how that falls.
I know. Well, for the record, my husband listened to the Mary Reddick episode as well. He loved it. And we went out and bought him an axe, and he has chopped wood since that episode.
That's so funny. I mentioned that specific example to Ryan, and he was like, oh, I hate dropping wood.
Yeah, Juan was saying it's actually really hard. Like,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one thing. Oh, okay. So I do remember the other thing I wanted to say about the Mary's episode. And then I think we should probably move on to Deborah.
Yeah.
But Ryan and I we were away for a week, just the two of us, without our children. It was amazing. We hadn't done that in probably 9 years. So it was long overdue and it was amazing. But we had some, you know, tons of time to talk, which was also amazing. And one of the things we ended up talking about was how defined roles in a relationship are definitely very helpful, right? So in our relationship, he is obviously the income maker. That is his main focus. You know, he will help with things around the house, but that's not his main focus. And for the most part, that is my role, you know? And yes, I will manage the children and helping with that. So the children, so I'm not doing everything by myself. Mm. But we have generally defined roles in that, you know, I make the food, I do the cleaning in the house, I school the children, I am the default parent, like all of these things. And I think that there's a lot of conversation today. Again, another thing I wish we had asked Mary about. So there's a lot of conversation going on right now in social media, in mom groups, in mom blogs, whatever, about mental load. Have you heard of this? Where there's this like unseen workload that mothers have, you know, where they know, they're the ones that know who their children go to see the pediatrician. They're the ones that carry around all of the, I have to do this to plan this birthday party or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think maybe if both parents are working, this is a completely different conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
But in my house, I am the one who is taking on the mental load for the children and for the household. Ryan is taking on the mental load for providing for our family, for managing. He's the one that mostly manages the animals on our farm. He's the one that mostly manages the outside, you know, like the managing the mowing the lawn, and he's the one that keeps an eye on if the river is rising too much and we're worried about flooding. Like, these are not things that I'm taking on mentally, But there's a whole list of things I'm taking on mentally, and there's a whole list of things he's taking on mentally. And the thing is that, and I will be the first to tell you, we are fairly good at communication, but there are some times when I can completely like, you should know that I want you to do this, you know? Yeah. Why don't you understand that I want you to be doing this?
Why can't you read my mind?
Why can't you get into my brain? But he's always like, listen, if you need me to do something, I'm perfectly willing to do it. I just need you to tell me that you need me to do it.
Yeah.
And to some people, that would be too much. And I understand that. But if you do have defined roles in your relationship, and your defined roles are like, I take care of the house, but tonight I need help doing dishes, mm-hmm. that's okay. And, you know, that's a healthy way of doing things.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. You and I are in similar situations. My husband is also the provider in our family, and I am the nurturer, the one that cares for the kids and schools them and, you know, cooks and cleans and all of that. And it does help that, number one, the roles are defined, and actually number two, she talked about delegating tasks. And I am so grateful that I have a system in place with my older children, and they are very capable of taking on things that I don't even have to worry about anymore. And when you talk about the mental load, that actually made me think of, for women in particular, maybe for men it's somewhat similar, but the benefit of living in some form of a tribal community where that some of that mental load is off, is offloaded onto the other women in the group around you.
Yeah.
And that's where we have less of
that. Well, also, like, if you're living in a tribal community, you're not worried about, oh, well, this kid has t-ball, and then this kid has dance, and then this kid, like, that's not a thing that happens in those tribal situations.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Can you imagine what life would be like if there weren't, you know, carting around to all of these different activities? And the funny thing about that
is, we experienced it with COVID. It was that I liked.
Yeah. I think my kids were still too young at that point to be doing a whole bunch of different sports.
Favorite thing about COVID, so it sounds so bad. Favorite thing about COVID was that there were no kids' birthday parties.
I completely agree. I wish that we could go back to no birthday parties. Can we just go back to family birthday parties?
100%. Like, 100%. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about
Deborah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So I want to say something about this, because this is, you know, I've read her, she has two books now. I have known about her for a long time. I want to say since my oldest was two. So like 8 years.
So did you fangirl a little bit?
I was totally fangirling. I love her, and I love the Neufeld Institute that she works for, Dr. Gordon Neufeld. I mean, as a psychology major, yeah, there was definitely, I was geeking out for sure. And I want to put Deborah and Mary in a room together and just sit there and watch and listen.
Yeah, that would be fascinating.
But I think I had such high expectations of Deborah's episode. And we mentioned this a little bit before we even started hitting record. But I don't want to say push back, but I didn't ask all of the questions that I wanted to. And in hindsight, I regret that, because I feel like I was left with questions after that episode. Half of me felt satisfied. Like, I got the answers that I wanted and also that I expected I was going to get. And then the other half of me was kind of thinking, man, I wish I had pushed back more. I wish I had asked about these specific topics.
Like what?
Well, on the episode, she talks about how one of her daughters would not eat meat. And we had it on our outline to ask her specifically about healing protocols. And one of the things I was going to mention was, well, when a child doesn't eat meat, for example, as a nutritionist, you know, nutritional therapy practitioner, I know that that is probably a sign of low zinc, you know, mineral imbalances going on there. And then I felt like as soon as she mentioned that, for whatever reason in my mind, I couldn't ask anymore. It was like, well, you know, as a parent, I'm just going to feed edamame or like any other plant-based proteins that I find and move on.
Right. Yeah. And obviously you and I, the mindset from the research that we have done, that those plant-based proteins are not equivalent to animal-based proteins.
So well said.
Yeah. I did not realize that that was the example that you were going to give in that question.
It was totally the example I was going to give. Oof. Yeah, so that's why I felt kind of like the rug was pulled out from under me and I was like, well, okay.
Oh, yeah, I am curious what she would have said about we could have asked it and not had that part. You could have used a different example. It's funny. But I am curious what she would have said about something like GAPS or AIP or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but I think after doing that episode, you know, and then you and I both listened to it at least a second time through when we're editing, I think that she probably would have said something along the lines of, well, you are your parent, you are your child's parent, and you know your child the best. So if you think that they need to be doing this and you're, you know, going along with your doctor or your provider or whatever, then, you know, just be also focusing on the relationship or, you know, something along those lines. I don't think she would have said you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that probably one of the biggest themes that I saw from, or that I, you know, extracted from both Mary's episode and Deborah's, and, you know, even Sally's a little bit, was this idea of connection and relationship. And that was the main point of Deborah's episode, but it sort of filtered through the others as well. And I love that I think that is a piece that's missing. I think that is something that, and especially for me personally, you know, I tend to hyper-focus on what I'm feeding instead of just making the healthy food and saying, okay, like now let's actually work on our relationship. I'm trying to think what else I was going to say about that.
I really do feel like I came away from that episode feeling very, very free in, you know, in the way that we approach food, like that we don't need to be so uptight and so strict. And this is actually something that I came away from Sally's episode feeling like as well. That, you know, that it all kind of comes out in the wash, right? Like we can be doing the very best, the very best that we can at home, but our kids could still go to school and trade their lunch, right? And that's okay. I think, I know a lot of people in the health, you know, and crunchy mom community get really uptight about the actual food, you know, like the actual things that we're eating. When after talking to all three of these women, that matters less, I think, in the grand scheme of things than the relationships with our children, with our spouses, with our community.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I even, you know, obviously have consciously tried to apply some of what Deborah talks about in her book in my own home, just to sort of play around with it to see how it works. And I can tell you from anecdotal experience that when we are all sitting down together at the table as a family, and it's our own home, so it's more of a controlled environment, obviously, but I set the food down, and then I don't talk about the food. I don't tell anyone to eat anything or what to eat on their plate or what to start with or anything like that. And we just have a conversation about the day. Currently, you know, my three-year-old is going through that very appropriate developmental stage of selectiveness. You know, sometimes he'll eat one day and then the next day doesn't eat and, you know, so forth. The chances of him eating, and even everybody at the table, the chances of the other kids finishing a meal, enjoying a meal, there being absolutely no meal battles is like zero. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like there are, it is, I have had this happen now like four or five times thinking, this is the most beautiful dinner I've had with my family. Like this is just so enjoyable. And I love this. And it's because I know I've made good food and that's it. Now I'm just going to focus on loving, accepting, and chatting with my kids and my husband.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Ooh, throw it at me.
What would happen if, trying to think of like a plausible way that this would happen, your husband said to you, Christine, I really, 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 really want pizza from this specific restaurant that does not at all align with your food values. I'm picking it up on the way home from work and we're going to eat this as a family. What would you do?
In all honesty, I would most likely get upset at him.
Yeah.
For sure. Definitely. And
so could you not have that experience with that pizza?
I think my initial reaction would be to get upset, and then I would have to swallow that and decide I can either choose for this to be a positive experience or I can make everybody miserable and feel guilt and shame over eating this food. And depending on how regulated I am that day, will determine the outcome.
Oh.
But I'm so glad that you brought that up, actually, because I think I was hoping that I was going to walk away from Deborah's episode as like an answer to everything. And the irony of it is she talked about how she doesn't like giving answers to parents. And I walked away from that thinking, no, I have all the answers. And I'm actually going to continue holding strong to my food family values. And when I'm in situations that I can't control, and when I am in with other family members that have foods out of my control, I'm going to let it go and focus on being in community and present with all these people. Now, granted, I've tried very hard to do that. And just this past Sunday, I had a classic Christine freak out moment and it went badly. And I was really embarrassed with myself and, you know, the action that I chose, but I'm learning from it. I'm still learning to apply all of this stuff.
I think you're right about the self-regulation too. I think that there, this past weekend I had a moment too. Maybe there's something in the air. I don't know.
I think it was a full moon on Monday.
It was.
Or Sunday, I think.
Yes, it was. Because my sister-in-law, actually both of my sister-in-laws are nurses in the baby units. And they said that they had a lot of babies on Sunday.
Yeah.
But regardless, I had a total meltdown over this Easter egg hunt at my mom's church. And I mean, I was like physically, like my heart was racing and I was, but now like literally just you saying this about being regulated triggered my memory. That morning I had had a cup of coffee and it was then 2:30 in the afternoon. I hadn't eaten anything at all day. So I'd had coffee in the morning and that was it. And so bad. Like, that is such a bad way to
approach a conventional Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
That your kids are going to participate in.
Yes. And like, I'm the one that chose to take them to that. We were invited. My mom invited us. And I very much appreciate it. I really want my kids to be able to participate in those sorts of very classically American things. Like, I want them to have those experiences. I really do. I actually think that that's so beautiful. Like, there are some things that's very cultural. You know, an Easter egg hunt is a very cultural thing. And I want them to be able to experience those things, even if it ends up with crappy candy at the end. And I had that mindset going into it, and yet I totally lost my marbles over this candy. And I want to be clear. People always are like, oh, it's just candy. Listen, guys, like, I'm not up in arms about the sugar. I know that bothers you a lot more than it bothers me.
Yeah.
What freaks me out is all of the dyes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're at this event. They're serving a meal. There are sandwiches with like cold cuts. I can get over the you know, not high quality cold cuts and bread and non-organic vegetables. Like, I can get over that without a problem. I'm a little bit freaked out by the chips and stuff because the oils and stuff in them are terrible. And I'm a little bit freaked out by the grocery store cookies. And then we get the packages of like fruit punch, you know? So that's got all the dye in it, but they had water. So like, that's fine. Bottles of water. And then they do this Easter egg hunt. And I kid you not, out of all four of my kids, I have no idea how many eggs they had, a huge pile of eggs. There was like three pieces of chocolate. So usually I would have said, we're ditching all of the, you know, the dyed stuff and you can have all the chocolate. But that wasn't even an option. Like, not even every kid got a piece of chocolate. So I was just a mess. I came home, I ate something, and I took a little nap, and I felt a little better. But
Corey, I can totally sympathize with that anxiety, because there is something about candy, brightly colored cakes, brightly colored cupcakes, cookies, things like that, that send me into a tizzy. I mean, they really do. And no matter how much Zen I try to channel and tell myself that it's going to be okay, it's almost like you can't unknow what you know.
I know. I told Ryan, I was like, I sometimes wish to high heaven I had not taken the red pill.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? So then you just get cancer and don't know why?
Yeah.
Like, but the thing is that we could still get cancer.
I know. I mean, yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So, but then we had Sally's episode, right? And literally one of the things she was talking about was A, the protective qualities of raw milk, right? So if you're giving your kids raw milk at home, raw milk is almost, according to Sally, able to like wipe out, I haven't researched this myself, this particular thing, like basically wipe out the bad stuff from the other foods that your kids might be eating.
Yeah, the negative effects of the other foods.
So that I found to be encouraging too.
Yeah, and I wonder if her laissez-faire attitude comes from her wisdom and her experience. And, you know, she did admit that they were more relaxed as parents. And so it makes you kind of think, huh, okay, in what areas of my life can I be relaxed? And yeah, how can I find some of that balance? But no, I definitely appreciate how, yeah, the things that she said about it. Because as someone who does feel very like uptight about certain aspects, to hear her say, oh, no, you know, our only rule was they had to come home, they had to eat dinner with us, and then after that, they were on their own. Like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I think my own mom says stuff like my, we obviously went to this Easter egg hunt with my mom, and she looked at me and she was like, you need to calm down. Like, she said it way nicer than that. I think she said, like, I don't know. She was nicer than that. But she talks about this too, where she's like, you just have to do the best you can in your own home, and you have to pick your battles, right? So we have to decide as mothers, and probably this is one of those things we have to decide along with our partners, if the food thing is a battle worth fighting.
Yeah.
You know, because we only have so much battle in ourselves. You know, like, I only have enough to give. And our kids can only withstand so much battle as well. So, and I think this especially gets harder maybe when we get into teenage years, because there will be more battles and bigger battles and probably more important battles than food.
Oh, totally. Which is where I think, going back to what Deborah was saying, this is why our relationship is so important. Because if our kids feel like they are safe around us when it comes to something as simple as what we're feeding them for dinner, then they're more likely to come to us with the bigger stuff. Like, I don't know, the big stuff that happens in the teenage years. And as she was saying, one of the ways to draw your kids in and one of the ways to sort of foster that relationship is through the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And noticing. She said, what is she calling?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I have been doing that lately. I can't tell you enough. Wait, what did you say?
I said being a secret agent.
Yes. The secret agent thing. Yeah. It really does make a difference. So when I remember to do it, I'll set a plate in front of one of my kids and I'll say, I want you to know that I thought about you. I know that you don't like pepper, so I didn't put pepper on this. And it's like their face lights up, like, oh my gosh, you know? And even though that's a very simple thing, there's nothing difficult about that. But thinking of something special that each child has a preference towards, and telling that child that I thought about them when I made this for them, and, you know, this is specifically for you. I just think that whole act of, like, I am giving this to you and you are receiving is totally different than this is what you have to eat tonight, or yeah,
that's a whole different perspective, right? Like, that changes. Yeah, turning the meal into a gift rather than a requirement or obligation. I do think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my, you know, final thought on, like, how I walked away from all of those were My own values for my family. I'm going to continue holding strong to them and try and really work on the relationship aspect any chance that I get, and work on regulating myself so I can manage external situations that are infuriating with, yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. You know, it's okay. I'm going to be, maybe I should, like, report back, but next weekend I'm going to be dropped in, like, a minefield for me. I think this will probably be one of the most uncomfortable situations I will ever be in. But we were just staying with some family for a few nights, and I know some of the foods that are going to be available, and I already plan on coming prepared. So, you know, I know that sodas are regularly consumed, and I plan on coming with sparkling waters, flavored sparkling waters as an option, which is actually like a really big treat for my kids. I am going to bless them with probably a carton of eggs and butter and bacon and just say like, thank you so much for letting us stay here. Let's make this for breakfast. But then the rest of it, I'm going to have to let go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a gracious thing. I have to be gracious for staying at their place, and there's nothing else I can do about the rest of it. So, all learning experiences.
Yeah. Okay. I think if we're stating what our number one takeaway is, I think obviously the relationships being key here, but I think also the encouragement from these women that, you know, we as mothers have so much innate wisdom that if we lean into that wisdom and can, you know, trust ourselves, that our kids will, you know, benefit from that, and that we can find freedom in that. And I just loved how much there was so much emphasis on, you know, using that motherhood wisdom, using that beautiful nurturing spirit that we have tried to cultivate in ourselves. And that this is such an important thing for our families and our children. And we know this, but like, for some reason, you just have to have it reiterated sometimes. Yeah. So I think the community thing obviously is really key, but also just realizing that we have this wisdom that we can be tapping into in this, and that there's freedom in that, in trusting ourselves. And if you want to, you know, add trusting that, you know, God has this, like, it's not all on us. Like, we are shepherding these children, but they are not ours. You know, ultimately they're not ours. They are ours to shepherd and to lead for a while, but ultimately we have to give that over. Yeah, I find a lot of strength in that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I don't have any ending thoughts, actually. I feel like I've definitely mentioned some of the key takeaways for me. I'm trying to think. On a personal level, immediately following Mary's episode, I was very conscious of doing two things. The first was going to bed earlier, which that's all gone out the window recently for other reasons. But
as we're sitting here at like 10:30 my time.
I know, right? And then the second one has been connecting with women.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Why did we not even mention that?
Yeah. So I'm trying really hard to connect with a friend, a female friend, or a family member at least once a week.
And right, in person?
In person, yeah. And right now that's just looking like sitting down and having coffee. I have, can 1,000% tell how much that affects me and for the better.
So we have this at our homeschool co-op. We have every mom, we have 3 hours of classes, right? Every mom is required to serve in 2 hours, and then we have a free period where whoever is off, you know, not serving in that period, goes and just hangs out with the other moms. And it is like that. We were all chatting today and I was just like, listen, ladies, like, I need this time. Like, my kids need to be here, you know, to socialize and whatever, but like, I need this hour.
Yeah.
Where I am sitting with you guys and we are not with our children, and we are just chit-chat. I mean, like, if the kids were there, they would be fine. They would just be running around playing. But, like, we get to sit and talk.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's just an hour. But, like, it does make a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about it that if you have the opportunity to connect with a female friend on a regular basis, it makes a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. That also made me think about my kids and, like, being intentional about giving them time to be with their friends and to build those relationships, because I think that is really important. And I know that homeschoolers get a lot of flack for, you know, not socializing and whatever, but, like, I do think that is an important thing to give them the opportunity to make those sorts of connections and have those sorts of experiences.
Yeah. Okay. So not to detract from our own episodes, but briefly following, I believe, Mary and Deborah's Barry Weiss on her podcast, which is honestly came
which
out.
Which is like a ginormous podcast.
I know. Like, I know. I'm here. I am.
We're like not even the same level.
No, not even close. Where is
at it? All?
Okay, she released an episode called "Why the Kids Aren't Right" with Abigail Schreier.
Oh my gosh, that was so good.
It was so good, Corey.
It was so good.
It was so good.
Abigail Schreier was also on Rogan like that same time, and yeah, that one was also excellent.
It was one of those things where I was like, oh my gosh, this fits in with the theme. This is all the same thing.
You think we could get Abigail Schreier on?
I know, right? I don't even think she would open an email from us. We're so small.
Oh, that's funny. No, I totally agree. I remember listening to it and be like, oh my gosh, like, this is so much of what we were just talking. But I felt the same thing coming out of it. I was like, I actually feel like I am doing something right. Like, I feel like,
yeah,
this is kind of not cementing, but, like, you know.
Oh, validating.
Thank you. Validating my parenting and, like, my parenting styles and choices and.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say go back and for all of our listeners that have 4 to 5 hours worth of extra time to.
No, and then add Rogan's on top of this, so it's like 3 hours.
I know, right? Basically just spend a day binging, or a week while you're doing dishes, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh, oh man.
Okay. This is the last thing that we'll end on as just kind of like a comical note. But so Corey and I, we had kind of a mishap with our original Sally episode, which, you know, maybe one day we'll share that story. But so
you should just share it right now.
Share it.
A year ago, we recorded this amazing episode with Sally.
It was so good.
A year ago. It was really good. And the files did not download properly, and we lost the episode. So
all of it. And it took us, it was the one of the most horrible mistakes we've made as podcasters. And
I might have cried.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it took us almost a full year to go back to her and say, can we do this again? We were so embarrassed. And unfortunately, I mean, the second episode is great, but really the first episode was better. But the funny thing here, what I'm trying to get to, is in both episodes, she shares a story at the very end about this horrible car crash. And she shared it in the first episode, and both Corey and I were cracking up afterwards thinking, like, man, that was a really dark story to end the episode on. And so we thought that we had, you know, cleared.
Like, that was the silver lining of losing the episode.
Right. Like, we thought that, oh, okay, well, at least we weren't going to get that story again. And then she told the story again in the second episode, and that really had us rolling on the floor laughing.
Well, so technically I could cut it out, right? But I actually listened to it and I was like, this is actually has a really good moral to the story. I mean, it's tragic what happened in this car crash. But her point was, is like, we know kids are going to drink and they need to have at least eaten something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we can have a whole conversation about whether we think teenagers should be drinking or not. That's not the point. You know, the point is, and it could, this could be relevant for anyone, you know, 21 or under or over.
Yeah.
That's, you know, don't be doing this on an empty stomach. Don't.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that she said in her episode that she was a realist and you're right. Yeah. That's the point. The point is, as a parent, knowing what your child might do, what can you do to mitigate that? And that's sort of what I walked away from with that particularly tragic story.
I find it hilarious that you brought up the tragic story that we didn't want to end the Sally episode on at the end of this episode.
And here we are ending it on the irony, man. No, that's not what we're going to end the episode on. Actually, I'm going to tell you what we're going to end the episode on. We are going to end the episode on some amazing reviews that we have gotten recently.
We haven't done this in a while.
No. And yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to read. All right. A review.
Yay. I don't even know what this is going to say. So this is exciting for me.
No, right before we started recording, I saw this and I was like, oh, I should read this. Okay. So this is 5 stars from AJ Girl. Thanks, AJ Girl. Super appreciate it. This podcast was one of the best.
That sounded so mean, girls, of you.
No.
I
genuinely
pink on Wednesdays.
Well, yes, okay. Mean Girls is definitely our what is that
generation?
Yeah, yes. I grew up with Mean Girls. Okay, I did love it.
100%. I saw the Broadway show and it was awesome.
Oh, cool.
It's so fun.
All right, back to AJ Girls. Absolutely amazing review. It says, this podcast was one of the best I've listened to. The regal abundance of the tribal indigenous way of living described by Mary Ruddick had me wanting to listen forever. It's fascinating to remember our greatest wealth is truly our health. Mary's shared experiences are an integral part of the change society needs to get back to a more natural way of being. What an inspirational message. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for leaving a review. It makes us so giddy with excitement. We had a lot of reviews after Mary's episode.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's quite a few here that we need to catch up on and read. People really, really loved it.
I loved it, obviously. We loved it.
Yeah.
And we do plan on having Mary back. Perhaps we will talk about the things that we intended to talk about in the first place.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah. I could just picture our listeners when we brought up breastfeeding and then you were like, wait, no. We got to finish talking about this other stuff. And probably the people were like, no, we want to hear about breastfeeding.
I know. But there was like, we couldn't.
No, you're so right. We could not leave the other half of that conversation undone. So we had to talk about male roles and female roles. And honestly, hopefully everyone listened to the very, very end of it because Mary talked literally until the last second and had valuable advice until the last like 30 seconds of that show.
Yeah. Honestly, like if we could get Mary, I mean, I just want to like hang out with her.
For sure.
For like a whole weekend.
I know. I'm like, how can I be your friend
and let's be friends.
Follow you around everywhere?
I know. All right. Well, thank you all for leaving reviews. We really appreciate it. It really does help to get the podcast apps to recognize our show. It helps other people to see it who haven't seen it before on those apps, even if you don't know them. And the other thing that really helps is if you share the episodes to your social media, to just like texting it to your friends, share it on your stories, on your Facebook page, to your Facebook mom groups, whatever. All of that is really helpful. And hopefully it would be, you know, helpful to whoever listens to it.
Yeah. And with that, I think we are signing off.
Right. So this is another, what are we calling this? Behind the mic?
Behind the mic.
All right, cool. Until next time, y'all. Sayonara.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Modern Ancestral Mamas. Check out the show notes for the resources. You can find Christine on Instagram at NourishTheLittles and online at NourishTheLittles.com. You can find Corey on Instagram at ForNutrientsSake and online at ForNutrientsSake.com. Follow us on Instagram at Modern Ancestral Mamas.
The information contained in this show is for informational purposes only. It should not be intended as medical advice and should not replace your relationship with your healthcare practitioner.